Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Mary Johnson. Joining me in the chancel this morning is our speaker, Sabrina Truppia. Her sermon, which we will be hearing later in the service, is entitled Everyday Grace. I welcome you to this Unitarian Universalist community with the words of Wendell Berry from his poem, The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we are glad you are here. I invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of the gray hymnal and put the card in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll then send you our newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. The current newsletter and calendar, as well as pamphlets about Unitarian Universalism, are in the information racks in our fellowship hall. We do have a staffed nursery for infants and young children under the age of 5, through those doors and turn left through the foyer to the first door on the left. And in the front to my right is the spirit chair with quiet activities for all ages. Anyone may go to the chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to their seat. And today, children and youth are invited to stay with their families during the service. Religious education classes and youth group will meet again next Sunday. And this will be the schedule for the remainder of the church year. No classes the first Sunday of each month. We welcome all of you into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. I have several announcements. The first is two of our general announcements. The first three pews on my left have been designated as fragrance-free. So please refrain from sitting there if you are wearing any kind of fragrant in personal care products or detergents. Secondly, put your cell phones in airplane mode or turn them off. The signals from so many phones cause a problem with our sound system. Today there will be a potluck lunch following the service, and everyone is invited to stay to join in this communal meal. And if you've requested a name tag, please look in the desk in the fellowship hall because there are several waiting to be picked up. And when we get to the third hymn this morning, it is number 21, not 121, as I mistyped the number when I prepared the order of service. And I have a concern that you all need to be aware of. I just learned this morning from Lane that Linda Van Zandt, wife of our former minister, Reverend Kleber Van Zandt's father, died today, or yeah, is what?
Kleber.
Yes, Kleber's father died last night or today, and he lived in Texas. So keep Kleber and his family in your thoughts. Are there other announcements? I don't have any more. I guess there aren't. So we will begin our prelude this morning. We begin our worship this morning with a prelude by Nicole Robbins, our accompanist.
Thank you.
just as the cross and the Star of David are symbols for other religious groups, a flame within a chalice is a primary symbol for our Unitarian Universalist faith. As Isabella lights our chalice, please join in saying the unison words found in your bulletin. We gather this hour as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. Thank you, Isabella. My call to worship words this morning. Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power and let its vision change your heart. Please rise in body or spirit to join in our first hymn, number 1 in your gray hymnal, May Nothing Evil Cross This Door.
So the children, or the time for all ages today, is a short movie called Alike. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Cool. Our spiritual lives are filled up. Our hearts are warmed by the giving of time, talents, love, comfort, and our many other human resources. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the financial contribution you make here reflect what you receive? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
At each worship service, we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows, the celebrations and struggles of this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter, or from the bowl here in the chancel. We allow the stones to bring us into an awareness of those things most important to our lives through thought or meditation. We then place the stones in the cleansing waters. If you have joys, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow.
Thank you.
Our prayer today is adapted from Reverend Robin Tanner. Blessed are they who fall in the mud, who jump with gusto and rip the pants, who skin the elbow and bruise the ego, for they shall know the sweetness of risk. Blessed are they who try again, who dust off, who wash up, who extend the wish for peace, who return to the sites of failure, who are dogged in their pursuit, for they will discover the secret to dreams. Blessed are they who see beyond the surface of another, for they will be able to delight in the gift of compassion. Blessed are they who stop running the race to help a fellow traveler, who pick up the fallen, who stop for injured life, for they shall know the kindness of strangers. Blessed are they who wildly, boldly abandon winning, for they shall know the path of justice. Please rise in body and or spirit to join in singing hymn number 16, found in your gray hymnal, "'Tis a Gift to Be Simple." Is entitled Poem by Mary Oliver. The spirit likes to dress up like this, 10 fingers, 10 toes, shoulders, and all the rest, at night in the black branches, in the morning in the blue branches of the world. It could float, of course, but would rather plumb rough matter, airy and shapeless thing. It needs the metaphor of the body, lime and appetite, the oceanic fluids. It needs the body's world, instinct and imagination, and the dark hug of time, sweetness and tangibility, to be understood, to be more than pure light that burns where no one is. So it enters us. In the morning shines from brute comfort like a stitch of lightning, and at night lights up the deep and wondrous drownings of the body like a star. So this is the time for reflection and meditation. I would like to guide you through a little bit of a meditation to ground yourself. Sit comfortably, close your eyes, or if you want to keep them open, but just pick a spot and look at that. And let go of everything unpleasant that is being, that you brought in here. Touch it with your mind, feel the hot badness of it, and then let it go. And breathe. Focus on your breathing. Now, what I'd like you to do, once you center yourself, is just imagine you're a light, like the chalice. You're a little spark of light. And see how far your light goes. And now imagine that everybody around you and everybody in this sanctuary is a light, like a candle or a spark. And and try to imagine this as you breathe in and out for a few moments. And try to let go of anything that is worrying you and concentrate on the light. And you, as you come out of your meditation, you can maybe try to look around, see all the lights they've imagined and who they are. Good. Are we good? It's nice to see you all. Thanks for coming. So, grace. So what's my entry point into grace? These are those laden words. The first thing that comes to my mind is this. I have these two aunts in Italy. They're very Catholic and very devoted to the Virgin Mary. And also they, basically, they're old ladies and they're very perplexed about the type of life I lead overseas, over here. They don't understand this niece that is far away. Very inaccessible, what I do. They don't understand the culture that I live in. Actually, right now, I only have one of these two aunts left because one passed away a couple of years ago and quite suddenly, but I still can't get my head around that because she was such a force of life and she was such a big part of my life that I still think that she's alive. It's really weird and awkward because then I have to remember it, but I digress. My point for this is that these two aunts that don't understand my life, they've always been my mom's champion. They're older than my mom, and they've always protected her, helped her in all her life. My mom is 80 years old. These ladies are older. This is 80 years of being the protectors. And so they know that when my mom's only child, that would be me, and her family takes to a trip overseas, that they have to help that. And so they pray for grace on my behalf. And it's not just a prayer here and there. This is hardcore Catholic stuff. They say a novena, which is a 9-day directed prayer every day for 9 days. They always want to know when I'm coming well in advance so that they can plan this thing. And they pray. They say the novena. They say novenas for other things, but for me, this, for my grace from the Virgin Mary and Jesus and God, for my well-being during the flight. So these two old ladies are my entry point into grace today or always. For over 30 years, these two old ladies have spent 9 days of their lives praying for me, okay? 9 days on the way there, and 9 days on the way back. Okay, so it's a lot of time per year per aunt. And so, like, I've calculated about, in the last 30 years, 3.5% of their life was spent praying for me. roughly. Sometimes you can, like, you know, outsource the praying, but they're not the type that outsources the praying, okay? So I don't, okay, so I know it's, I don't mean to be ungrateful because they've been very kind to me and my mom and all my life, and that's a beautiful thing. But here's the thing. One aunt has been gone for 2 years, and the other one is not well. She's bedridden most of the time. She's just getting it on with the years. So for the past 2 years, me and my family have been flying back and forth overseas, and things went okay. And nobody was praying for us, which is the sticking point about this concept of grace that I'm thinking, that I understand or that I know. So what does grace mean then? I've been able to fly. I also travel for work. She doesn't know that. So why am I still like being held up in the air? How do I relate to a concept of grace that is kind of foreign to me, much like my aunt doesn't understand what I do in America? And why do I want to know? Why do I care? Well, I have to give a sermon, so obviously. But this is not. But the reason I said yes to saying the sermon today is because I'm one of those UUs who wants to reclaim some of these touchstone words that are being used in other denominations, like faith and redemption and sin. And sin, yeah. Yeah, Lane. Because I like you, use because they heckled the sermon, right? Right. Okay. Because the UU faith is a faith that saves lives. We're all here because we believe this above all. I don't know, maybe I'm generalizing, but I think ultimately that's what it is. And so we cannot disregard concept of being around for millennia, like grace and other, like salvation and redemption, just because they contain potentially upsetting references to fully formed gendered gods that we don't like from previous religious experience we've had. Because the concept of grace, it's my contention, at least today, for the purpose of this, is that it's helpful. It exists because a lot of people have thought about it and that it worked for them. So how can it be repurposed and used to our better advantage? So let's step back for a minute. In regards whether or not what grace means, whether or not it means asking God for a material favor, please keep me up in the air, no turbulence, thanks. If you ask lay people, even the very devoted, they think that grace is some sort of a prize, an unexpected lottery-type gift that you get from God. A word that is used often interchangeably with blessing. I found the parking spot. Small grace, hashtag so blessed. But if you look at theology, because we gotta go a little bit deeper in that, the grace of God is what God gives you to have you experience a second chance after you have sinned. Yes, sinned. Back on that. So, in the words of my favorite self-declared Catholic sinner and Buddhist sympathizer, Thomas Merton, grace is not a strange magic substance which is subtly filtered into our souls to act as a kind of spiritual penicillin. Grace is unity, oneness with ourselves, and oneness with God. Oneness with God. Okay. Well, that's the Catholic view. But believe me, that's not just the Catholic view. I looked up other theologies, and pretty much the definition is similar. Grace is something that God gives you to make you be like them. For instance, Martin Luther said, grace is given to heal the spiritually sick, not to decorate spiritual heroes. There's a lot of problems that I have with this sentence, but that's a quote from a different religion. So, depending who you ask, to most Christian theologies, God, who is forever disappointed in you, is doing you a spiritual favor to help you be more in his image by giving you grace. And when I say you, I mean all of us. Okay. So this is where I found myself for many days. I've known I had to give this sermon for about a month, and I was stuck there, angry at this God of the, you know, this guy here, right? Because it reminds me of Catholic upbringing, wanting to mediate this idea. But I was angry at the realization, more importantly, that I was going down a path that could either bring me to explain away grace as magical thinking, which is something I absolutely don't like to do. So God, please grant me all the things that I want, all the material things. Or down the rabbit hole of having to only have a definition of grace that is based on believing in a God. And that for me, for the purposes of what I wanted to do, for the purposes of having a definition that works for Unitarian Universalists, whether they believe in God or not, that is not what I wanted, where I wanted to go. I was asking whether or not I could understand if grace can work in the absence of any God, in the absence of a constructed God from other denominations that maybe we don't all want to accept, and can it encompass all of them? I mean, I don't have a problem with the definitions that are given, but I wanted to broaden this idea. So then I went into complete word nerd or geek mode, because words are important. And to me, when you say grace, when you say the word grace, what does that mean? Where does it come from? How is it used? That's the point of entry outside of my experience with people talking about grace, that it's important. So what I went down is a different type of rabbit hole. I wanted to know where the word grace comes from, because usage may help. The understanding of usage may help in repurposing and broadening this concept of grace, making us able to use this word without having to call up bad things. So, grace is a word that comes to English from the French, and it comes from the Latin gratus, which means thankful. All right, that's easy, but that doesn't explain what we're thankful for and doesn't tell me the whole story. But notice that the word grace in normal speech, as other usages, grace is also used to describe a type of harmonious beauty. So that person comports themselves with grace. So that is a term. At this point, though, you start thinking, okay, no, I gotta see where it comes from, the Greek, because that's where the important meaning is gonna come from. And the Greek word is charis, which is a root word from, and that brings us the word charisma, and also charity. And so that gets interesting, because I know not many people are word nerds, but charisma, if you look at it in a Greek dictionary, charisma has many meanings. And typically, or at least the one that I consulted is set up, this dictionary has the meanings by abundance, but also by historical occurrence, because Greek is a dead language, at least ancient Greek is a dead language. So they go and look up where is the first occurrence of this term and how many times it comes. When you look at the dictionary, the meaning beauty and joy for charis come before the meaning grace, as we intend it spiritually, and the meanings gratitude and respect come after. So the entry for charis has two pages of a big dictionary, and that's five meanings. The five meanings are beauty, joy, grace, gratitude, and respect. So based on this, I'm starting to see a pattern of usage that is important to combine in an idea of grace. Maybe grace can be thought of as a type of movement of the Spirit, not in the sense of the movement, but in the sense of motion, or how the Spirit moves. A Spirit that senses the beauty of a gesture, the beauty of something, an image, a sound, a thing, receives joy through it and becomes thankful. So you get this experience at a spiritual level, you see something beautiful, and it opens your spirit. So grace is a spiritual joy after a moment of beauty. I can work with this. Grace is a state of the spirit, a moment of revelation. There's another touchstone word, a state of unburdening. And this can be used whether or not there is a God underneath it. So you've probably noticed the hymn Amazing Grace is not part of the ones we're singing today. And there is a reason for that. That is because I'm going to use it right now for a quick exegesis. So the words of Amazing Grace, we all know them, but I'm going to repeat them. It's our hymn 206, incidentally. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And most people know that the story is this guy was shipwrecked and thought that he was saved by God in the shipwreck in the 1750s approximately. That's when it was written. But if you can imagine this as a state of your spirit instead of an actual guy in an actual beach in Massachusetts after a shipwreck, can imagine, let's imagine you're stuck in traffic, something pedestrian, on a weekday, on the way to an errand, on the way to an office, an appointment, something, and inside yourself, you have this ongoing ticker tape of thoughts, anger, anxiety, self-doubt, sadness, self-doubt. And you would call yourself a wretch. I mean, like, on a good day, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of bad, negative things going in my mind. And I can't, you feel like you're drowning in dull. You turn from blue to, like, kind of gray, or from orange to kind of gray, like in that movie, you know, sort of, no. And suddenly, you see what, a ray of sun coming from the cloud, you see a bird, you see something weird, you hear a tune on the radio that you like, you laugh when you're listening to a podcast, looking at you, you see something pretty in a moment where everything is dull, and you get out of yourself and are able to see that you're connected to the fabric of the universe as it is and as you are. Being able to see that thing, we're part of the whole, we get out of our mind for a moment, makes us see and moves us somehow. This is grace without God, if you want, if you don't want God. You can have grace with God. If you believe in God, that can be. But this stands on its own. This grace saves our soul from drowning in that moment inside. So what is this unburdening I was talking about? What are we getting saved from in that moment? We're getting saved from ourselves. Grace saves us from ourselves. In order to experience this kind of grace that I'm talking about, we have to get out of our heads and interact with the present. Whether it's a lovely sunset or sunrise or a ray of light, a cat, a moment of connection with a loved one, music, art, friends, grace takes us inward to outward and makes us be in the present and recognize we're part of the tapestry of life. And grace is reciprocal. We notice the sunset, and the sunset is there to be noticed. Someone is playing music, and we are the audience. We smile at our child, and we get some kind of a reaction, possibly a smile back. And the redemption we get is that small, still voice inside of us that says, you don't need to be anything else in order to be okay. You don't need a sign. You are a sign. You are part of the universe. Amen and blessed be. Please rise in body and spirit and or spirit and join us in singing hymn 21 found in your gray hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth. Please join me in the unison words in your order of service. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. The benediction from Frederick Gillis: may the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in and among us now and always. Go in peace.